listen to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting it, passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Hey guys, thank you for joining us at All the Answers podcast, where we answer all your questions through the Akashic Records. Our sound quality is not excellent in some of these first few episodes because we were pulled away from our studio when Corona happened. So the longer you stick around episodes 8 and 9, things will be in order and sound will be amazing. So we hope you stick around. Enjoy.
Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
As we go with it, we don't go into it, grieve it, and then see what else is there. Like, right. There's always something behind the thing you're sitting with. We should stop talking
because, yeah, save that. That's what the whole podcast is about.
All right. So, something to know is that, you know, working with clients and in classes all the time, I mean, crazy shit happens that quote unquote interrupts the flow of things. I mean, I'll give you an example. So I teach a healing class online on Zoom where there's 10 people who paid to be there that I'm seeing their face on the Zoom platform, just like now that we're using Zoom. And I mean, I open the group records. So any group of people that gather, there is a records for that group, which is a crazy concept we could talk about. So I'm sitting in the energy field of 10 different people's souls. And then we'll go one at a time with people going like, what do I do about this? Or like, my sinuses are fucked up, or I hate my mom, or whatever it is. And I'm kind of zoning in on one person's stuff and their energy field and their soul alignment to source and their Akashic records. And so you can imagine the weird shit that goes on in the middle of that, that doesn't throw anything. In other words, okay, I'll give you a specific example. In my most recent class, I obviously won't name names, but there's a person who came to class saying like, all of the front of my sinuses and the front of my head are tight all the time right now, all of a sudden. And she was like, I know that this is a something. It isn't just, I have a sinus problem, which is, by the way, my favorite type of client. Not people who I have to be like, okay, so your son, and people who come and like, I just have a sinus problem, fix it. I'm like, oh God, because now I got to teach you the concept that your sinus problem is actually a physical manifestation of something else that's trying to clear, but you probably won't believe that. And then you're going to resist. Like, those are people that I don't have time for at this point in my practice. I love the people who show up and are like, okay, what is happening? And it's showing up as a sinus thing. That's my girl.
Anyway.
We get in there. I'm pulling shit out. I'm just doing what I do. The record keepers are bringing light through. She's like crying and blowing her nose and crying and blowing her nose. And all this sinus shit is coming out and coming out and coming out. And she's like, now my heart is opening and I remember my childhood and I'm so sad. And she's crying and crying. Amazing shit is happening. And then I suddenly become aware that over here, I'm pointing to my right, podcast listeners, meaning somebody else in the group, because everybody's records are open at the same time, is having a really profound trauma experience. And I can't see it with my eyes, but I feel it energetically in the records. And so I'm holding an awareness of that and asking sort of essentially energetically the light of the divine to go to that person and pull their shit out. And in their case, what the record keepers are showing me is that it's pulling out through their first chakra into the earth. But they're also showing me that it's sexual abuse history, which is fucking uncomfortable to process, as you can imagine. So I say, while I'm like going like this with my left hand is out, holding space for the girl with the sinus thing, I say to the group, because they're all on mute on Zoom, I say to the group, okay, whoever's having a lot of pain in their first and second chakra, or maybe you're sobbing or shaking, just breathe and release that into the earth. Imagine like darkness flowing out of your crotch down into the planet. And then boom, I feel the energy of the entire group shift, because that person just needed to be heard and seen energetically and know that like, I got you. And like, God is working this and we're going to pull this out and send it to the earth. And then everybody could breathe. Meanwhile, sinus is still happening. Then this is a real story. The doorbell rings at my house. Fucking legit doorbell. And I don't know well, I'm not going to turn the computer around, but where I sit to do this particular class is in my office, and the right behind my computer is like the parking lot and like the trees, and it's real pretty, but it's like, that's where people walk up to my front door. So I see this guy walking up with my Amazon delivery I've been waiting for. This bitch's trauma is clearing. This is all her unprocessed feelings about her dad. And I'm like, okay, everybody, keep breathing. I gotta get the door. And I get the door and I bring this package in. Now the dog is going crazy and the cat. And then whenever the dog goes, the cat and the dog start to roll around on the floor. Anyway, that's like a normal day in healing class. And so I'm addressing this point. If we started this podcast later, then our conversation would indicate that Desmond, our amazing producer, was saying, like, I'm sorry if we have to pause in the middle of you doing shit. And I appreciate it because it's less than ideal, but it's not, it's certainly not. I mean, it's so normal that it's totally cool. And you know what? I think it brings up a great point, which is a great thing to sort of talk about at the top, which is the way that we make spirituality and energy work. And we sort of talked about this on our first podcast episode, but like so significant and serious. And
there's that breathy voice again.
Exactly. Like God forbid you interrupt my serious, significant spiritual connection. The fact is, yes, there's a space of consciousness that is a little more like gentle, spacious, peaceful, quiet, that when it gets disrupted, does get disrupted. But there's another fact that if the individual is grounded, who's holding this space, they can stay with it while doing another thing. Now, if you do that too long, the original grounding energy does dissipate and you have to redo it, but you can just redo it and not make that happen. Necessity significant or big and serious or terrible.
Well, I wonder if the analogy is like if I was at the dentist's office and they're rooting around in my teeth, I would rather not have like someone standing right next to the chair having a conversation about the latest reality show while I'm having my teeth worked on. I can. It is okay for them to be doing medical procedures while there's chaos or interesting other things, but it would be better if you gave me a little space to
right. That's good.
Be healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't want to have to navigate a third thing because that makes it harder on me and makes my job harder, but can I do it? Sure. Would I prefer not? Absolutely. I would prefer right. not to have the fucking Amazon guy show up right when her dad issues are
pretty intense.
Yeah. So I was going to bring up this other topic too. That was a great little foray into a thing. But I was thinking this morning before we started talking today about the idea of the essential existential question. And it's so funny how, like, whenever I think about, it's just you and I organically, before we started recording, started talking about something that brought up the concept of the essential existential question.
Right.
Like you said a thing and I was like, no, I remember what it was. Doesn't matter. Anyway, it was on my mind and then it came up and I was like, okay, that feels to me like confirmation or like encouragement to like, let's talk about that.
Yeah. If I may, you've been saying you've been starting to struggle, a lot of struggle, maybe you've been struggling with the sort of essential nature of like, you're a performer. What if I were never in a play again? Or what if I never did a show again?
Yeah.
What would that look like? And instead of just doing that as sort of a self-indulgent, like pity thought, taking it as a serious inquiry into the nature of who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, yes. So here's how I would put it, right? It's like, here's how healing works. Whatever the thing is that needs to move through the system exists as a heavy kind of stuck energy in the body somewhere or in the heart or in the spirit, however you want to frame it. Mm-hmm. It's body, heart, spirit, all one thing. So let's take, for example, we could talk about one of your things, Cass, if you're open to it, like some stuff you've been dealing with lives as stuck energy in the back of the heart. So you mm-hmm. and I get in a session, I say, feel that feeling, feelings come up, you cry. That's the crying is the heaviness moving out. So similarly, when I, as a performer, I individually have these feelings that all actors go through all the time when you're not getting jobs is like, am I ever going to work again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so usually what we do as performers is we go like, God, fuck, I'm never going to work again. And I'm just like complaining about it, period. Right. But another option is to sit with the feeling I'm never going to work again. And actually, it's funny because as soon as we start talking about it, I'm sitting with it and there's energy moving into it right now because my records are open. And the records don't even have to be open. Just talking about a thing and sitting with a thing starts to change the thing. But see, what we do as actors is we go like, oh God, I'm worried I'm never going to work again. But let's say the fear of never going to work again is like a bubble like this in your belly, like mm-hmm. it's a ball, like a softball sized ball in sitting in your gut. When we complain about the softball sized ball, we're like naming that it exists and we're pinging off the edge of it. We're going like, look, there's a softball over there. There's a softball over there. There's a softball right. over there. I'm sad that there's a, what am I going to do about the softball over there? But if instead you go, oh, the softball, and you dissolve yourself into the softball, like I'm kind of doing it right now. I'm feeling into the feeling in my, for me, it's in my second chakra, low belly. Like, what if I never do another acting job again? Light, divine light or love or consciousness, whatever you want to call it, starts to move into the softball because I'm sitting in the middle of it. Not on the edge of it, just naming it. I'm sitting in the middle of it. And then something else, it starts to transmute into something else. And new awarenesses can arise. But what one has to be willing to do when new awarenesses arise is become a new person. Mm. That's what nobody wants to do. That's why transformation is so hard, is because people are married to their identity. And yeah. that's understandable. Of course, we're married to our identity. That's what human beings with egos do.
Well, I've built it for 50 years. You want me to make a new one?
Exactly. And so my point of view is like, I have this weird thing about me where I'm like, I'm actually more interested in healing things at the core level and finding out who the new person me would be if I did that, than staying married to what's already there. Because what I know is that what's already there is so often, almost always, built on defensive patterning from childhood. In other words, your whole sense of identity and personality is a response to what your mommy and daddy did, and is a in combination with your natural organic tendencies. It's not like everything is nurture. Some of it is nature. But, and even at like, this is a perfect example. I'm sitting here going like, what if I never act again? And I sit with that and I go, I feel sad. Now the light is coming in there. Now I feel less sad. Now I feel energized. Now I want to go get in the hot tub. This is literally what's happening, and enjoy nature outside today. So if I were by myself, not doing a podcast, I'd probably like go get in the hot tub and enjoy nature. But you see, that's in the present moment. It's not in my mind. I could still go back to my mind and say, yeah, but what about the, but what about, but I don't. I go back into the body where the feeling was, because see, people try to solve their mental obsessions from their mind, but you can't treat a sick mind with a sick mind. What's under a mental obsession is always a feeling, and a feeling is always treatable, always. Why? Because the feelings are the midway point between the spirit and the body, between the spirit and life, between the spirit and earth. So when you feel your feelings, let light come to that, everything changes. And oftentimes when it's something like, what if I never act again? If I were to really sit with this question, suddenly, probably an acting job would show up, because you bring light to the feeling, a feeling changes, it becomes light itself, and then things can flow in.
Well, if I may,
yes,
Katie and I have been sort of swimming in the same waters recently. We kind of simultaneous. You and I were being challenged in the same way. I feel like in a lot of ways, we were both facing, like, literally asking that question: what if I never act again? And I, in the past, when I've had that, when I've had a lull, I am definitely, I feel very blessed that I do get to do as much acting work as I get.
Yeah.
And yet I want more.
But
then when I hit a wall, I'm freaked out and it freaks me out. And in the past, that's put me in a panic space. And so now then I am only just sort of ideating in my head. I'm never going to act. I'm never going to act. Oh God. Oh God. That's it. I'm over. For some reason, even though I talked about it a lot, I feel like the way in which it was sitting in me this for the last few months, I mean, I had a lot of, you know, audition fail, whatever. Oh, audition, no, thank you. Audition, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Audition, and nothing was lining up, and nothing was coming, and no jobs were coming. But I wasn't going, I'm never going to act again. I was saying it more like, I wonder if this is it. So it's still in the head, but it was a more inquiring space than like stuck block space. I was stuck, but I don't know, the way in which it sat in my body was different.
Well,
and as a result, I wasn't.
But what you're not articulating, or maybe you did, I missed it, but is you did a bunch of work in the body on it. You went to therapy.
So then the next step on that is, that I went to therapy. I did a session with Katie. I don't know why I'm calling you in the third person today.
No, it's fine.
On a podcast. I did a session with you, and then, you know, and I also just did some more personal, did a little bit of journaling, very little. I also had a really difficult conversation with a person that I care about, and, you know, all the things of like getting into the actual stuff. And guess what? Right around, it was the day of my, I think we already mentioned this, day of my first therapy session, I booked a job. The next day I got a half offer on another, which has come through, and I am now working on that show. So suddenly all the work came, but not out of me bashing my head against the idea of never working.
Yeah.
It came from, addressing, you know, doing the specific work of auditioning and that shit, but then the internal work of addressing what was stuck.
Yeah. And to 100%, I mean, 100%, it was so cool to watch that happen, because from my perspective,
right
over here outside of you, you and I did that session. You went to therapy, you got a job. And like,
I don't want to admit that that's how it worked, of course, but of course, that is literally all you just did was describe what happened.
Right. And so, but what I'm saying about that, that's important. It's not about me and my involvement. What I'm saying is what you did that worked, I would argue, is you went into your body about it and into your heart about it by talking to the therapist, feeling your feelings of anger at your previous therapist. If I may.
Yes, you may.
Because that anger cast, that was the block.
Yeah.
And the anger isn't just about that therapist, but a lot of it was. So getting in touch with that starts to move the anger river through you, so that then the light, God, consciousness, earth, life, whatever you want to fucking call it, can bring you acting jobs. And same with like what you and I did was pull out a big fucking chunk of that energy. Boom, universe can deliver acting jobs. And so all of it is you being willing through a lot of pain, because that's how human beings are. We need pain to push us to, except if you remember that question we had a couple of weeks ago, what's it going to take to move forward without pain? Anyway, but usually what we do as humans is, I'm so stuck, I'm in so much pain, fine, I'll feel it. I'll do everything I can to not have to feel this feeling until there's nothing left, until I've literally done everything else.
Yeah.
And that's definitely true for me. By the way, none of this is the thing I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about the essential existential question, but we'll get back to that. To finish the thought I was just going to say, I am so the person who needs the thing I'm saying that's, I believe the universe has me working as a spiritual healer simply because if I weren't working as one, I would be so fucked up. In other words, like, I need this shit so bad that I have to be teaching it and doing it with clients and leading classes and talking about it in a fucking podcast. That's how bad I need it. In other words, like, I live up here now. I moved like out of, y'all know this, but I'll share with people, like out of the city and into like nature. And I live on this waterway and there's a hot tub outside and it's all natural and shit. But I have a real city part of myself and I miss the freaking city.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, because I'm here, what's happening is I'm moving slower. I'm spending time in nature. I'm getting in that hot tub a lot. I'm walking this fucking dog. And you know what happens when I'm slow in nature, hot tub, walk the dog? All my feelings come up.
Because you can look at them. You give space to hear them.
And feel them. Yes. Because there's not stimulation every second around my nervous system, keeping me engaged and distracted from myself. So it's like, sometimes I feel like when I talk, people can think I sound, or I hear myself and judge myself as sounding like I'm on this high horse and I know all this spiritual shit or whatever. And I just want to say, I do know some stuff. And that's because how bad I fucking need to know it personally.
Mm-hmm.
I need God so bad that I've become pretty good at relating to it.
Mm.
And this does bring me back around to the essential existential question, which I would argue is, what is the fucking point?
And it has to have that fucking in it because
you gotta say fucking.
It's important. It's a strong statement.
If you don't fuck in the middle.
What's the point? Sounds kind of like, meh, kind of you giving up. What's the point? What's the fucking point? Like, that's a deep inquiry.
That's, I mean, you know, look, everyone I've ever met on a certain level has either decided to ignore that question or is grappling with it.
Okay, now I have to say, Katie, you asked me earlier, should you come see this play that I am currently working on?
Yeah.
100%. That is literally the core concept behind the play is what who are we? What, and is there a, why are we bothering?
Dude, do you remember that when I asked you
to
see this play, you were like, I don't know, that change your life? I don't know. And I go, Cassidy, I'm not asking you, is the play going to address the essential existential question?
That's why it came up.
Yes. I'm just asking you, will it entertain me in the evening? And you were like, I don't know. And now here we are realizing it literally addresses the essential
existential question.
Really?
Yeah. It's about, without giving any narrative away, it is about sort of memory, the necessity of our stories that we tell ourselves or our fading away elders. That's really what it is. It's about a mother and a daughter, and the mother is aging and dying. And what do we want her to remember? What stories do we want to fill her with? And why do we need her to think to remember those? And ultimately, the reason it's about your life is like, well, is our life just gather a bunch of stories and then have those stories told back to us and then die? You know, like,
yeah, man.
Is that it? And it ain't a happy play. It's dark. It's a dark play about and there's a sort of a more sci-fi aspect to it that I'm not revealing because it's just better to know less if you come see it.
What's it called?
It is called Marjorie Prime.
Well, so that's so great because that's exactly what I've been sitting with a lot. And I'll tell you, when moving up here to where I live now in nature, there's been a lot of time to be with myself. And I notice that everything I sit with, everything, whether it's like, am I going to get acting jobs again? Or it's like that guy I was dating and I are not dating anymore. Or it's like, I'm a little bored today. Or it's like, anxiety, am I going to be able to teach this class well? Whatever it is, the uncomfortable feeling, when I sit with it and go to the other side, I wind up at what's under it is, what is the point of any of this?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a peace for me that happens right under the anxiety and the fear and the sadness and the whatever. There's a peacefulness when you go through. And then when I'm sitting with that peace, now I'm going to make a bold statement. I think I have the answer to, what is the point? What
so
is
now, the point? If you reveal this today, then that's it. We have 5 podcast episodes and then we wrap. We call it a wrap.
That's true.
No, it's a jumping off point, hopefully.
Yeah, no, it's of course not. Because even when you answer, this is part of it. Even when you answer the essential existential question, you still have to keep living. In other words, here, first I'll answer it. and then
don't keep us in suspense.
Yeah, then we'll talk about like what that means. So here's the thing. I sit with it, whatever the it is. I bring light to that. Then it becomes like, oh, I'm pretty peaceful. And then I look around and go, well, I don't need anything. I have enough money and my house is cute and I like my dog and the sun is shining and I can do whatever I want. What do I want? And I go, nothing. I have it all. I'm right here. I'm whole. I'm whole and complete. I don't even need an acting job to feel good. That'll fuck you up as an actor.
Yeah.
You don't need an acting job anymore to feel good? Who the fuck are you? The answer is you're whole and peaceful and content. And now what's the point? And the answer from my point of view is to know the divine as yourself. Because when I, Katie Rubin, know the divine as myself, translation, feel an uncomfortable feeling, move through it with the light, get to the peace. I feel full of joy and enthusiasm for existing just by existing. I don't need to pursue anything in order to feel good. I feel good because I am sitting comfortably right inside the fountain of the light that we call the divine. So from my point of view, the only thing that needs pursuing is to know God more deeply in the heart, because here's what happens for me. I wake up in the morning, every morning. This is a great transparency moment for people who are wondering. I wake up not happy. I'm not fucking happy in the fucking morning. I am not. You hear how I talk? That's not a happy lady. That's a comedian. Comedians are not happy. Okay. People are always like, I want to hang out with you. You're so funny on stage. And I'm like, oh girl, you don't want to hang out with me. I'm a bummer.
I'm going to interrupt that thought and tell you that is so not true. You're one of the most fun people to hang out with, except for when you're a fucking bummer. No, very rarely.
So here's the thing. I wake up like, oh God, cranky, tired. I go sit on my weird healing chair. I bring the light. I open my record. I bring the light. I clear out everything that came up unconsciously in my sleep that night. I get realigned with source. And suddenly I'm like bubbly and light. And I'm like, I don't know what needs doing. Oh, the garbage needs to go out. I'm taking the garbage outside to the garbage can. And I come back in and I'm like, now what needs doing? The dog needs a walk and I'm walking the dog. Now, if I don't go to the chair and do that shit, I'm like, this fucking dog needs to go out again. How many fucking times does the fucking dog need to fucking walk? Can she be done walking? Now that is the difference between me in communion with the light and me not. Cranky motherfucker, full of light and love for every moment. So I go like, all there is 20 minutes on the chair with God, and then everything else is just living life with a heart filled with joy. Now, do I also in my comedy brain and my intellectual self hear that sentence and go, what have you become, Katie Rubin? Are you some kind of proselytizing Christian now? I'm like a Jew from Miami. I'm like supposed to be like sassy and angry and curious and neurotic all day.
Yeah, you still are.
I know. But you see what I'm saying? So anyway, that's my answer to what is the point? The point is know God, spend more time with the light, be with God, because then you just get to experience joy in every moment. And in the meantime, while you're doing that, if you feel like trying to get an acting job, do that.
That sounds fun.
Or like go to the beach or like pet the dog. It's irrelevant if I'm full of light and happiness. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
But
that brings up sort of
at the same time.
Sorry, what?
Well, I was just going to say, but also paradoxically, it's not entirely irrelevant because we are all individuals who are here to do certain things. So if I never try for what I desire in life again, just because I'm filled with the light, that'll get boring also and not fulfilling. Right. So it's not like I could just sit here and be filled with light and that's enough. But and if we're answering the existential question, what's the point? I would say the point is to know the light more deeply so that I can be of the light and then bring that light to the people more readily and easily.
Yeah.
Vibrating as joy, I can provide joy.
Yeah. I mean, these are all questions that come up, I think, I would argue, when sort of Maslow's hierarchy of needs are addressed. You know, you have food, shelter, safety. I don't know them. But like I said, I know a little about a lot of things. So I can name that there is this hierarchy of needs. So you have food, shelter, and safety. And from there, all this other stuff is, I love that idea that, you know, yeah, I guess, yeah, if you don't have food, shelter, or safety, you can't sit in your comfy chair. There's just no space for that. You don't have the option even maybe of sitting and getting in touch with the divine.
Although I've heard this idea stated many times.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that agrees and that's like sort of, what do you call it? Like empirically true. Like if you're
right.
Surviving, you're busy surviving.
Yeah.
And I know that as an entrepreneur because nobody pays me unless I go fucking make money. Like it doesn't happen. So I have to generate that. Right. So because I have that experience every single day and every single month, I also know that I can definitely sit in the existential shit around that. In other words, I would argue you can be poor, struggling, not have a comfy chair, not have a cute apartment, not have a dog, not have a hot tub, and still be going like, what is the fucking point as a result of that?
Yeah.
So I kind of disagree. And if you go to India And you see fucking, man, India is amazing. The most poor people on the fucking universe who have nothing, living on the street, eating literal dirt next to like this high rise with the wealthiest people in the world. I promise you, they're both asking the existential question. And oftentimes the dirt eater has a better answer.
Yeah. And and that's not to in any way say that someone who is struggling or doesn't have all of their physical needs met can't or shouldn't. In fact, they absolutely should and do have these inquiries and can have divine connection and can have, should have, will have, hopefully get to have that, because it also sounds like this is that's a circle of it. It helps you to achieve your level of physical comfort or whatever we call it, to have, you wouldn't be able to keep paying your rent, getting your food, all the other things, if you didn't have your connection to the divine keeping you safe and able. Did I make sense there?
Kind of, except it does bring, yes. And it's like what I'm saying, and I'm going to say it boldly, and you're not going to love it because it's not the liberal idea that you just said. It's different than that. I'm literally saying, even if you're living in a third world country, don't have any money, suffering, don't have a roof over your head, some people in that situation choose to ask the essential existential question anyway. And then they come to find the answer for themselves. And that doesn't mean that the money problem gets solved. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes the money problem does get solved as a result of answering the essential existential question. It does for me. And we can talk about how that is and why that is. But what I'm saying is like their heartache underneath it gets solved, such that afterwards, let's say it gets solved for someone who's homeless in Mexico, that person may decide, you know what? I'm so happy because I have the light of the divine moving through my heart every second. I don't really give a shit about having a house. I'm just going to kind of be a beggar and love God and sleep in the beach. Or that person might go like, God, I've got so much joy now going through that. I've found God and I'm feeling happy. Let's get my life together. I think I kind of want to build a hut. Maybe I'll sell some flowers today and make some money and start to buy a house. Or maybe I'll go to the government and be like, hey, you guys should make it easier for people to make money. Whatever.
Oh, lost Katie.
We lost her. Desmond, you can't hear me. You don't have your headphones on. I feel so lonely right now.
That was so weird.
You just vanished.
My computer went black.
Whoa.
Black screen, fully shut down.
That's bizarre.
Are we still recording or not?
We are. You just vanished in the middle of saying...
I know exactly where I was, but like great. That was so fucking weird. What I was saying is that whatever... That person could then choose whatever they want to do with their three-dimensional reality. It may get solved. It may not, the three-dimensional reality problem, but they will have, you can solve the essential existential question without solving your life problems.
Gotcha.
And usually you're correct. Like Eckhart Tolle is one of the famous spiritual teachers who has his basic story, right?
No.
He was like homeless, living on a bench, a park bench. And he solved his existential question. He like meditated and contemplated until he had the answer. And then things started to happen in his life. Then he became unhomeless. And like now he's a spiritual teacher.
Uh-huh.
That was the order of events for him, right? Some people, like I've been to India. I've spent a bunch of time in Mumbai. Some people are sitting on the street corner begging while simultaneously asking the universe every day in meditation or chanting or however they're doing it. Can I know you, please? They're doing spiritual practice to know God. And some of them are fine with living on the street and doing it. And some of them are really not fine and are like, get me the fuck off the street. But
yeah.
Those are two different things.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, the last thing I'll say, and then I swear I'll stop. I feel like I'm talking a lot here. But the last thing I'll say, just because I'm excited about it, is that for me, in the Akashic Records, the Akashic Records spiritual vibrational frequency energy is so strong and high, is why I love it. That it makes manifestation and actualization of money and health and wealth easier and faster.
Mm.
So for me, when I sit in the records in the morning, one of the things I'm doing, I'm clearing everything that has me not wanting to bother with existing because I haven't healed every little nugget of myself that doesn't want to exist. So I clear all the stuff that morning and then I feel bubbly and happy and I go about my moment. I'm also asking for ease of financial abundance. I'm pulling that in. There are abundance practices you can do spiritually that help money just come and that help you be in alignment with the flow of finances. That is a real thing. So I do spend time doing that on the regular because frankly, it's easier to do that than be like a hustler working hard to hustle. Now I still have to do stuff in three-dimensional reality to make things happen. So you could call that hustling, but it's a lot less hustly than it would be if I weren't doing the spiritual work along with it. Okay, done.
Yeah. It's all work.
Yeah.
You're still laboring.
Yeah.
You're definitely, I watch you as an outside observer. I perceive what you're doing absolutely as hustling and in the good way, not in the like sleazy way. That doesn't mean like Ethlyn trying to hustle me. But yeah, like that's still a lot of work. Like you get up in the morning, gotta go sit in my chair, gotta get in touch with the divine light. Like I would love to say that I do that. I don't. I wake up mostly happy. So that's fine. That's the other thing. I wake up.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the day.
Yeah.
And then some days I wake up going, fuck this day. Or mainly because it happened all night. That's where I struggle. I struggle in my dreams and in my sleep.
What like do you mean?
If I wake up ungood, it's because I didn't sleep right because my brain was and my heart and my churnings were happening all night long, either in dreamland or in semi-conscious space. But
so you're saying that if you wake up ungood, it's because a specific something is going on in your life about which you're ruminating in your sleep?
Yeah. Like that's where I think I do my sort of, that's where I mull things over the most in my sleep. And I'm better off when I then take that into the waking world and go, hello, what was that?
Yeah.
And I don't often.
I see. So
that's my, you know, because I need structure.
Yeah.
And I tend to, this is how I have been so far in my life. I need someone else to lead me in that structure. So like I've never been able to get a meditation practice of my own going.
Right, right. You and most humans.
Yeah, 99% of us. But God damn, if I literally just sit in a fucking chair and take three deep breaths.
Yeah.
Huge difference. And I don't do that.
Yeah.
And that takes nothing.
Well, it's so interesting, right? I mean, this brings me to the concept of addiction because people like to think like, oh, addicts are that other thing over that scary other thing over there that I am not that. Like, oh, alcohol and drugs, that's addiction.
Yeah.
Prostitutes and, you know, fucking strangers for money. That's whatever. But addiction is happening for everybody all day, all the time. We just don't frame it that way. So I would call it like your addiction is to doing and going and people and whatever that is that keeps you from sitting down and breathing.
I'm addicted to distraction.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Which is the name of a book about ADD. No, it's called Driven to Distraction. Ah. Sorry, which is a great book. If anybody's struggling with ADD, I really recommend Driven to Distraction. Great book. But really the essence of Driven to Distraction and what you're saying, his answer to it is like, sit down anyway. And you and I have talked about this offline about how, and maybe even on here, I don't know, but about how because you wake up basically happy, why would you sit down?
There's no call for it.
Exactly. And that is the gift of me waking up unhappy. People go, God, I feel for you, Katie. You wake up sad. And I go, don't feel for me, motherfucker. I am a spiritual wizard. Because I'm sad.
Yeah.
I'm also like a successful comedian because I'm sad. I'm also a teacher because I'm sad, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm actually not sad right now. I'm pretty damn good. But I'm saying I don't wake up existentially cozy. Now, I'm very curious to see what happens. Let's be really real. Like if I got married to someone amazing and he had like a fuck ton of money and we lived in a mansion and we did a lot of cool trips and I was booking acting jobs left and right and everything were as my brain wants it, I wonder how much spiritual work I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be very interesting to see what the universe delivers me because if it gives me everything I want, will I still be such a preacher?
Right. Material. If you are actually materially, if your Maslow is covered completely, abundantly,
yeah,
without you having to do the spiritual work to help the flow, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Then what?
Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing I would still be talking about this stuff. And here's why. It helps me get, how do I say, like, in the moment, remember why bother. Mm. In other words, teaching and talking about it and talking about it with you right now and doing the work fills me with fulfillment as it's happening, because there's joy and then there's fulfillment and they're not the same always.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in other words, okay, I could sit in my chair right now and do like an hour of spiritual shit and then feel like really joyful. About 8 hours later, I'll be pretty bored and I'll be like, but what am I doing? I don't feel fulfilled. And that's when I start to go like, hey, Cass, can we record another podcast? Hey, you know, I don't know, whatever, whoever, can we do a whatever? Because I need to feel fulfilled here in three-dimensional reality, in addition to having the essential existential question answered.
Aha. Uh-huh. So that, yeah, that brings me back to if the exact, is not, yeah, I struggle with it, because then why... So what if you just answer the essential existential question and you do know the divine within yourself?
Yeah.
And that is the core of everything. Then it's not the core of everything if you still need something else.
That's right. But see, it's the core of everything on that level.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It's okay. Not the answer to every question.
It's not 42. It's
no.
It's not life, the universe, and everything. It's just the core spiritual question.
Yep.
Of what is the point of the yep. struggle with of soul.
Existence.
The existence. But you are, is not the three-dimensional reality part of that?
Yeah, of course. Yes. So what, keep asking. What are you asking?
I guess I'm asking if you do know if it sounds to me like all you need is to know the light, the divine, the truth within yourself, or to know that you are the divine. Or whatever it was exactly you said, but I'm getting it versions of it, and truly know that, not just know it with my head. Like I know it with my words right now, but I don't know it. I don't know that feeling. I don't know that. But you have at least brushed hands with that enough that you know that that is true at a very core level. Great. But then you also are dissatisfied ultimately and need to go out and stimulate and do other things.
Okay, here's what I have an answer.
Great.
I was trying to let you articulate the question very clearly, because I'm sure people listening are going, wait. And they have this question.
Yes.
I wanted to hear it.
And I didn't articulate it clearly, but I think you know the question I'm asking. So maybe you can articulate the question.
Great. So. Here's what I would say. Okay. I'll use me as an example again, because it's just an easy way to go. I sit in the chair. I bring the light in. I feel joyful and happy from the space inside myself of joy and happiness. I will have an organic desire to create something, or I will not have that desire, depending on who the individual is. In other words, I get amped up and want to create this podcast with you for fulfillment from the space of connection with source.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't connect with source, I don't care about anything, and I just lay down in my bed. I don't care about anything, because the existential question is so not answered for me. Fuck everything. I give up. So then I go to the light. I go, oh, it's about joy. And then I'm walking around happy and I'm walking the dog. And I'm like, God, it would be really fun and really fulfilling to do a podcast with Cassidy. Hey, Cass, do you want to do a podcast? Then that itch in three-dimensional reality that I have for fulfillment in a personal way is getting scratched. Because it was fueled by joy, which comes from having asked the deeper question about why fucking bother.
Gotcha.
So in other words, I wish people could see what my hand is doing, but all the way back behind my body is God, or the universe, or the essential existential question. Why bother? Because if you know God, you feel light and free. And then you come closer into the middle of the body with my hand that's coming closer toward me from behind me. And you have like, yeah, but what do I want to do now? And then you have the engine and the willingness and the drive and the desire to do what you want to do now, because you went back there first. As opposed to a different way to create would be like, I'm so miserable. I should just do something, because otherwise I'm just going to be here and be miserable. I guess I'll just fight against that heaviness in my heart and just drag my body outside and just do things anyway.
Right.
Or what most people do, which is, I don't know what the fucking point is. Well, I'm going to get famous and rich. Then I'll feel better.
And you won't.
And you fucking won't.
Right.
You will have money, and money is good to have in three-dimensional reality. Life is easier when you have money. Let's be real. If you just have it laying around, It's easier for you because then your body's comfortable in a nice car and then you can buy your latte and it's comfortable. But that won't solve the heaviness that you woke up with.
Right. Pre-spiritual Katie, you've talked a bit about you having a really rough time early in life. And you've also talked briefly about doing crazy shit and running in crazy circles and being wild. But I could see that Katie having, you know, then met a millionaire and having jets and all those things. And you would still probably be living in a hellscape of your soul.
That's right.
Because,
Yeah, that's right. It's like I have a few friends that I know that I can think of who are doing pretty well on the external reality, but they don't have these questions answered for themselves internally. And so it's really painful for them. Now, that doesn't mean, from my point of view, that does not mean they shouldn't have pursued their money. I'm happy for them that they have their money. In fact, I admire them and want what they have on the three-dimensional having stuff level. Totally want it. Not in denial of wanting it. Want it, want it, want it. And when you're asking me the essential existential question, I know how to address that itch. I know how to scratch that itch. I know where to go to get that question not functioning. Remember, it's all about a feeling, not about a thought. That's why people never solve the essential existential question, is because they're trying to do it with their brain. You can't.
Yeah. I'm going to interrupt us just to say we've been going for about almost an hour. We haven't asked a question of the record keepers.
Although we have asked a lot of questions.
Maybe you are the record keeper today. I don't know. Well, I mean, you're still always channeling the wisdom. You just aren't doing it in the formal open the record sense.
Uh-huh. So we can open the records.
I don't know. Should we?
What they want to say, or if they have anything to add, or if there's another question.
Yeah. Is there a related question that we want to ask today?
Do you have one?
I don't. I wish I did.
Why don't we ask, like, how do you answer the essential existential question as an individual and see what they say?
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yeah. I kind of want to ask myself. I want to be selfish today.
Let's do it.
And I'm just trying to figure out how to frame it.
Okay.
And you can help me frame the question.
While you figure that out, I got to pee.
Okay. Well, this can be a moment. I'm just going to talk and we may cut this out. But it's weird that I'm narrating the fact that Katie's peeing. But I kind of want to leave this in because I think they should all know that we are human bodies in a three-dimensional realm. The question I want to ask is my relationship to that question. What does Cassidy need to do? What is Cassidy's essential? What's the fucking point of me? Why am I? What is my fucking point? That's my question. Cassidy's question is, what's the fucking point of Cassidy?
Okay. that's a fucking big one.
That's a terrifying question to ask. Because what if the answer comes back, there isn't one?
Then you'd have to sit with that discomfort.
Yeah.
And then by sitting with that discomfort, something new would arise.
Right. No, and actually the question is, because I do feel like I, in general, we've discussed this before, like I, without calling it a connection to the divine or a relationship with God or a strong formal relationship with source, probably do anyway, generally, just because I feel blessed in that I do have, I'm almost always in flow with things in a way that I have felt fortunate through much of my life.
Well, Cassidy, let's simplify.
And I don't mean that in a privileged way. That's a whole other discussion, but yes.
Dude, the simple thing is you were well-parented.
Right.
You had good mommy, daddy energy imbued into you. And that is what you've heard the idea that human beings are you're a spiritual being having a human experience. Okay. So if you're a spiritual being having a human experience, the ideal way to do that is to have two healthy, functioning, loving parents who make the human experience of your spiritual life easier.
Yeah.
So you had that. You got nurtured. You got a healthy mom introject and a healthy dad introject. And that adds up to like a kind of spiritual wholeness. Because by the way, when I was peeing.
Yeah. How was that for you?
You're welcome. I'll tell you all about it. The record keepers were talking about, they're like, remember too, Katie, that for some people, direct Gnostic union with the divine comes through community and connection with other people. In other words, some people never ever do a God question in their fucking life because they have so many people around them that they feel so loved and part of and connected and in community that they're like, I'm good. There is no fucking question because, but here's the thing we have to get is that communion with others from heart to heart, that is love circling between human beings through the hearts. And guess what love is?
God.
It's the big G.
Yeah. So yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And there's no but to that statement that I just said. That is what my experience of myself on this plane has been, that I think I have generally sort of solved the question or answered the question through community and through just good, loving people around me. I don't know if maybe I don't have a question for the record keepers today because that is the question that I had.
Yeah. But you sound to me like you're saying I've answered it, but I also have this other part of me that in a different way is sort of like, but still, what's the point?
Yeah, I don't think I actually do anymore. You're hearing something else. So I trust you. I trust your intuition. I don't know if you hear the question that I'm not asking. Are you that good? I'm going to test you. What question do I want to ask, Katie? No.
So you have that. So it's answered for you.
For the moment, yes.
And what is the answer?
I'm not even sure what the question is now. Wait, the question is, what is sort of my relationship to the question?
No, your question is, what's the point?
What's the fucking point? Oh, I think I know what the fucking point is.
And what is it?
To love. Other. Yeah. And here's how I know that's true.
Okay.
You see it?
Yes.
I started to tear up. As soon as I started to say it, I started to tear up. So that's my yes, you're speaking truth signal in my own body.
I love it.
So yeah, that's all I needed. I just needed to say it. Yeah. That's the fucking point.
It's beautiful. I'm just moved. So yeah. There's nothing to say.
Yeah.
I'm feeling your love as you let that tears happen and it makes me feel part of your love, and then it answers the question for me.
Yeah, well, that's good. Thanks podcast audience for being present for me to have a re-epiphany.
Well, and
that's re-epiphanies is the thing we don't talk about. I think we should that should be a thing.
Can we just stay with it for 1 second?
Yeah,
where you're with the love.
Yeah, because
what you have to get is that when you're with that, it's not just selfish. When you're with it, it emanates out of you, and the podcast people get to feel it for themselves.
Right. Yeah. It's super true. It's definitely a thing I've been. I've been talking about this week with a lot of people. My own like taking on of what I would call the negative emotions of other people's and like needing to kind of put up a shield around that, but struggling with that because I don't want to shut people out.
Right.
Because I want to love.
Right.
So I'm just sort of calculating that idea and realizing that, you know, filtering, not taking on other people's shit, it's a one-way shield. It's okay. It's like a two-way mirror. It's a breather mask. I can breathe out without breathing in.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because just being a fucking open vessel is dangerous as shit for me.
For sure.
Because it fucks me up. That's when I get out of touch. And then I love less because I am
too open.
I'm too open. And then I push away because I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I can't be here for you.
Right.
Because I need to get the fuck away from you.
Right.
Unless I just go, okay. So yeah, that's just, I'm talking through in real time things that I've been struggling with over this last week. And that was, so the fucking point. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, record keepers. Thank you. My own internal personal wisdom that is probably the divine speaking through me, love.
But you know, you bring up a really great point that so many people I work with deal with, which is like, how do I let people in but not take on their stuff? Like, that's like a very, very real, very big question that a lot of people ask. Like, everyone I work with who is a sensitive or a psychic or an empath is asking that question.
Can I ask that? Maybe that's the question we ask today.
Yeah.
Since that's the question I've been asking my therapist, and that's the question I've been asking myself.
What did your therapist say?
basically what we've been saying. We even did a little guided meditation on actually visualizing some form of a shield or a protective bubble around myself, just to like say, like, it is okay to say, I'm going to walk away from you yelling at me. And then I'll come back and we'll, you know, I can still love you, even if you're not yelling at me. But there's been times when I've been exposed to something I didn't want to be exposed to. But as a result, it shut me out of being present to something I felt deserved my attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to. So we haven't solved it. But, you know, one way is to just consciously not take on the bad feeling while still staying in the presence of it.
That's it.
Another is to absent myself if I absolutely need to from it. And that is okay, to be compassionate enough with myself to not have to take on everything.
100%.
Yeah. So that's what my therapist said, but I'd love to hear more about how to have that sort of one-way breather mask on.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay.
So, and we'll let this be kind of the end of today. And I love that. So I'm going to say this prayer and just reconnect with my records. And then I'll see if we even need to open yours, because this is a question that's so relevant for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah, they're already saying, let's open yours.
Right. And you can use my name because they know it's me.
That's true. I'm so sorry. I got to make sure the dog doesn't need to pee. Give me 1 second.
Yeah. Everybody's got to pee around here. Why don't I need to pee? I've been drinking enough water. Desmond got up and peed.
You let it out through your eyes.
That's right. I peed through my tears. It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
It's the best cleanse ever.
Oh, God. Katie's back. Did the dog pee?
She didn't need to pee.
All right.
It was an illusion.
Like life.
For the sake of time, let's go ahead and open the record and ask this question. I forgot what it is now, but we'll find it. All right. So everybody take a couple deep breaths. And let's breathe into the low belly. Dog on my lap, record keepers. Great. And then just feel the bottoms of your feet. Just become aware of them. And then see at the bottom center of each foot, a little chakra or a little sphere of energy opening up at the bottom center of each foot. Little channel, hole, tunnel opens up at the bottom center of each foot. And from that hole or center, a complex structure of roots begin to instantaneously grow out of the bottoms of each foot into the earth below you. Bottoms of the feet open, roots grow from the bottoms into the planet. Excellent. And as those roots continue to deepen into the earth, simultaneously, we're going to imagine that from the base of your spine, a tunnel or a channel or a tube drops all the way through all the layers of the earth to the center of the earth. From the base of your spine or the bottom of the sort of genital area, first chakra, a little tunnel, channel, or tube that we'll call a grounding cord shoots down through all the layers of the earth to the center of the planet. Excellent. And we're going to say that that tunnel channel tube is about 1.5 feet wide, big, wide open tube. Good. Now from the center of the earth, imagine or allow a bunch of earth energy, spiritual earth energy to shoot up through that tunnel into your groin, first chakra, and then it bleeds or pours over into each hip and down through each quad, each knee, each calf and ankle, into the bottoms of each foot, and into those roots that you established a moment ago. So the spirit or the energy or the soul of the earth is feeding you, your legs, and the roots below your feet, creating what we call a tripod grounding system. And from here, we're just going to say to the Akashic Lords, please help me, Katie, lay my multidimensional heart open to divine love. As I lay down all resistance, I ask the Lords, Masters, and Teachers of me to align me with you in my Akashic record. Beings of light of my Akashic record, please show me the way to deepen into the truth of my soul. Please keep me safe and protected as I access divine soul wisdom and information in my Akashic realm. And I'm just going to be quiet for a moment here. Now we're going to open Cassidy's records. Dear Akashic Lords, please bring the light of my heart present here into this moment so I may consciously connect the guidance of Cassidy Jamal Brown's Akashic records. Lords, Masters, Teachers, I ask that you show me what it feels like to be a clear channel of Cassidy Jamal Brown's Akashic record. I unfold and open myself to receive divine love, wisdom, and healing on all levels for Cassidy Jamal Brown's multidimensional soul. It is with great joy that I return my heart's awareness to oneness in Cassidy Jamal Brown's Akashic record. And I'll just go quiet to say that again silently. Lords of the Akasha, fill us with your divine love and assist us all in being grounded and present in our bodies as we access divine information and wisdom from you today. Please expand our state of consciousness and move us into alignment with the Akashic realm in a heart-centered state. I ask that the shields of protection be activated to encircle us as we move deeply into the Akashic record of Cassidy Jamal Brown. Lords, Masters, Teachers, please open the records clearly, deeply, and fully for Cassidy Jamal Brown. And I ask just that you take everything that would block me from hearing, receiving, feeling, knowing, perceiving, everything that would be useful to him in this inquiry now. So there's just a little bit of, this often happens when I open someone's records. There's like an initial bit of information that I get just from being with your soul and its alignment. So I could share that with you if you like.
Sure.
Which is that this soul, they say, this soul, Cassidy, is in a very embodied soul. This is a very appropriate friendship for you, Katie, because it's, he shows you the way that embodied love can exist in oneness with humanity. And you show him the way embodied love can look in communion with the one. And they serve one another in a very interesting, unique, and specific way. The light of the divine God is the pipeline through which, metaphorically speaking, the oil of the love that flows between human hearts exists or comes or flows, which is to say, with no connection to source, you can't love your community. And so you are a walking embodiment of this love, Cassidy Jamal Brown, through the practice you have, the daily practice of loving community. And to be fair, Katie Rubin could use a little teaching on this matter. She could use a little more stepping into the giving and the receiving of the love between the people. She is gifted and talented with the giving and receiving of the love with us. And now it is her task to bring it out more fully. You have a natural gift and affinity, Cassidy Jamal Brown, with this giving and receiving. Hence the wisdom we provide in her asking you to do this podcast with her. She thought she was very creative and very smart and very resourceful. And it was us teaching her a lesson. You need teachings, Katie Rubin, in the sharing from the heart with the humans. And hallelujah for this pipeline continuation. Amen. And so what was your question?
The question was, sorry, I'm just taking that in. That was.
Yes, please do. Allah. As you take that in, there's a real healing. So allow yourself. Allah. Receive, breathe into your heart and in the back of your heart. Allah.
That's exactly where that little sob came from.
Yeah.
There's a little just happened.
And this clearing is the clearing of the places where you have devalued Cassidy or misunderstood the value of what you hold and how you operate. Allah. I'll explain a little bit more about this Arabic a little bit later. But for now, just know, this is for the listeners, but for now, just know that the Arabic prayers carry an energetic frequency that is functioning as a healing tool for his heart right now. Allah, Allah, the word Allah meaning literally translated as the one. Allah, Allah, Allah. this connection, there's just more information now. Yeah. So this connection here, this is the experience of filial love, family love, mm-hmm. right? You, me, filial love. I mean, this is a very clean, very holy, not fraught with anything complicated kind of love that human beings get to experience. Mm. It's very distinct and specific to the human race, filial love. Mm. And it is something to be grateful for. Now, when one endeavors to experience romantic love or love of the divine, these are different experiences one can have. Different, you could say, dimensional realities of the energetic frequency of love. Is it all the same? Yes, in its essence. It all comes from the same pipeline. And the human experience of it will be different in its romantic form versus its filial form versus its agape form, etc. Okay. And how are you now?
I have a faint smile on my face. I'm just sitting feeling like sort of a soft euphoria is how I'm feeling right now.
That's nice. And this is the result of the pulling away of that one soul sob.
Yeah.
I mean. So was there a question?
We had a question, but shit, that was fucking beautiful. That was the wisdom we needed. Maybe there's more. The question was, how do I, we were kind of asking about both, all of us, how do I be present to like love and sort of, how do I actively love while in the presence of it? How do I be in the presence of negative shit, negative emotions, rage, anger, fear, hurt, all those things without taking them on while still being able to be open? How do I have a one-way channel, frankly? Okay. Is that possible?
Yep, 100%. And so part of this question comes from the parts of you. There is an injury present that makes the energy field leaky such that pain is occurring in front of you and necessarily oozing into you. Katie Rubin actually can speak to, this is a thing she's walked with quite deeply. So sometimes they just ask me to tell my personal experience. And so this is a moment like that where I was leading this will give you an example. I was leading there were about 15 people in a room this weekend. And it was just a sort of a talk about the Akashic Records. And then it turned into a group healing. We opened the group records and I brought healing energy through, or the record keepers brought it through me. And one woman started to have a really heavy trauma response. And she was going through her claustrophobia. She was like, ah, I'm trapped. I'm panicked. I'm trapped. And she was screaming in this group of people. So I had to hold the container of helping everyone in the room feel safe and let it be okay that she was freaking out and move her through this to a degree that we could restabilize her, right? But also we had to like move a bunch of shit out of her. Now in the past, that would be very uncomfortable for me, but I would do it anyway out of care for her or because it's my job or because I started this, so I got to follow through, blah, blah, blah. But in this case, I noticed myself feeling a lot of love and care for her and it's like kinesthetically moving her trauma through my nervous, like through my system. I'm a kinesthetic healer, so I could feel all her stuff, but none of it was affecting me personally. I had a real kind of detached, aloof, loving, caring energy about myself. And when it was happening, the record keepers showed me that a recent series of healings we did together, the record keepers and myself, you could say, this is an inaccurate way of saying it, but plugged up the holes in my third chakra that made it such that other people's pain was so uncomfortable for me. So the deepest answer to your question, coming back now we speak, is there's a leaky plug. There's a hole that could use a little plug in it such that you can have a fully open heart and be generously listening and holding space without feeling threatened by the energies coming at you. And so a piece of what just cleared for you, that soul, you called it a soul, what did you say? Soul sob.
Sob.
That piece moving out just now was a portion of the plugging up of that hole. And so the shortest answer is keep doing your work. Always do your work. Do your work, do your work. And eventually what happens is your nervous system and your spiritual field, which by the way are the same thing, becomes so strong and so steeped in the light of the oneness that nothing is a threat to them. But that takes a lot of work over time. And that is the deepest answer. There's always a hole in the system of the person who can't tolerate other people's stuff. Are you bad and wrong for having that hole? Of course not. Do not judge yourself for these leaky places in you. They came from experiences you've had that created them. So you must hold them with compassion and continue to clear everything and fill everything and open everything in yourself that needs work, such that your system becomes strong enough to not be affected. That doesn't mean you won't care, but humanity, this is the essence of codependency. Oof. Humanity is frequently confuses codependent enmeshment with care. They're actually different. You are not obligated to enmesh with someone's pain in order to care for their pain. You are able to care for someone's pain without becoming their pain. You can know this conceptually with your mind, and as a result, keep an energetic wall present that allows you to feel safe in the presence of other people's pain. Yes. And the more of your own clearing and hole plugging you do, the less effort becomes required from the mental level of holding this energetic wall. Does this make sense?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
It's difficult sometimes to say this one, because to tell this truth for me, Katie Rubin, because it's like sometimes injured people can be very triggered by this notion, because they hear it like, you've done something wrong. There's a hole in you. And this is not how this information is meant.
Yeah.
We mean it as you have been injured, just like the person in front of you. And so holes exist. So do your work, clear the hole, the light will fill it in, and then you won't be so affected. Amen. Namaste. You understand?
I do. Thank you. No. Yeah. The synchronicity of the discussions that I'm having with my therapist and with other people, it just all flows right together. The idea of being self-compassionate, like you, I think you even said, be compassionate with yourself at one point, which is like, I just started reading a book called Self-Compassion at the recommendation, because that is a big part of my journey right now, I think.
Yes.
Is learning the difference between self-compassion and self-esteem, because self-esteem is like, I'm great. And that's kind of actually can be toxic, but self-compassion is forgiving of one's, all the aspects of oneself, not just forgiving, because forgiving implies you've done something wrong, but I feel like this is related. I'm not sure how, I'm just sort of talking it out. It is okay that I need to put up a wall, but it's also even better that I acknowledge that why I have to put up that wall.
Right.
In touch with that stuff.
We can help. Yes, correct. We can help you here if you like.
Yeah.
Did you finish? I apologize.
No. I'd like to hear more.
So, all right. This is how they show it to me. Let me just channel it fully. You have a tendency when pain, or even not pain, but something strong, difficult, or anything in front of you that makes you feel uncomfortable, what you do is you throw a wall up and you walk away. Now, that could be as simple as like, we're in the green room at a show and I say words and that you don't want to deal with that right now. So you open your phone or you make a joke. Oh yeah. Okay. Well, that's phone. All of that is wall. Bye-bye. Now that can be bigger than that too. That can take the form of shutting your romantic partner out and not addressing the issues that exist between you. No, I don't want to do that's too scary. Wall, bye-bye. So you can even be together in a physical place, walking side by side, not going physically bye-bye, and be fully bye-bye'd.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And as you just said a moment ago, the other option is, or another option is, get emotionally present to what's making you uncomfortable. Forgive, love, and have compassion for yourself for feeling uncomfortable. And then that will, and as you develop that ability, that will give you the ability to have a better bandwidth of being forgiving, loving, compassionate of other people's stuff, such that when their stuff comes near you, you don't need to go away from it.
Yeah.
But your lack of compassion for your own discomfort makes you literally incapable of holding compassionate space for other people's discomfort. Now, something you're good at is you won't judge other people's discomfort and you will language back to them, I hear that you're uncomfortable in these ways. And then you think, I did my job. Cool, I told them I get it. That means I heard them. They should feel heard and seen now. But there is a missing piece, which is the heart, the energetic being withness, being withness, not witness. Being with is the essence of compassionate love. But one cannot be with anything in someone else that one is not willing to be with in themselves, in the heart. And human beings are psychic antenna for feeling when one is actually with them or not. So the any people in your life who say to you, I don't feel heard and seen by you, I don't feel with you, those are the people perceiving your going away-ness, despite what your words are saying to them. I'm here for you. I have you. I get it. Yes, but we feel you not getting it in the heart. And we have compassion. We, the record keepers in this moment, have compassion for, well, they, you know, record keepers are infinite compassion. So hallelujah. For your unwillingness to be with yourself, that comes from your own pain and your own life and your own sensitivity, which, by the way, you're in the beginning of a path of understanding the depth of your own sensitivity. You've had a bit of defensive structuring around your own sensitivity, Cassidy. You've wanted to be strong and masculine and have your shit together, as you say. I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. When you're good, 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 there's no being with your own sensitivity. You are quite a sensitive soul. And this journey you've embarked on recently is heading you into a space where there, if you follow it, there will be nothing you're afraid of ever again and nothing you ever have to move away from. Do you have any questions?
No. I want to just take that in and not even talk my way through it because I think it was just a good download of truth.
I mean, hallelujah. So we also offer this as we wrap up now, that this is so very relevant for so many people. You are far from alone on this, and you are being of deep service to the listeners who struggle with anything similar, which, by the way, is most of humanity, 99.9%. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for your transparency and your vulnerability and your willingness to go here. It's really nice to be in your records. It feels really nice in here.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I could just list out here and never close them up.
That may be one of the most beautiful things someone has ever said to me.
Oh. Hallelujah. This is the gift of our connection for me.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. And so we say thank you to the Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Record so much for this insight and this wisdom and the spiritual teachings and the healing for Cassidy Jamal Brown and for all of us in any ways that this was useful to anyone listening. And I say thank you for everything I got out of it and all the insight for me. Thank you so much. The Divine Portal and the Records for Cassidy Jamal Brown are now closed. Amen. The Divine Portal and the Records for Cassidy Jamal Brown are now closed. Amen. Please return us all to our complete human wholeness now, grounded, protected, safe, guarded, guided. The Divine Portal and the Records for Cassidy Jamal Brown are now closed. Amen. This energy back to him. I mean, no big deal. Just a normal day.
Just a normal day where we got to acknowledge the deep karmic universal
purpose
of our friendship. No big deal.
No big deal. Sorry. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go walk the dog. No big deal.
I know. I'm going to go get some coffee.
Talk about chop wood, carry water, right?
Yes. Chop wood, carry water. Also very want to, I want to try and stay this open and available to everything I do today.
I love you.
I love you too. Desmond, thank you for being here to listen to this. And all of you out there, Jesus Christ, thank you for existing. I'm assuming you will be in existence to hear this. No, it's really important. I want to say this. How do I say it? The fact that this conceptual audience that we do and will have is a big part of the gift of allowing at least I can't speak for you, but yeah. Katie, but from it is the vessel in which I am then given, I'm allowed to explore. Like what a gift is that? Thank mm-hmm. you. If, because that's how I give myself permission to do these things mm-hmm. is with witness or withness.
mm-hmm. God, that was so cool. Witness.
Witness. Bear witness.
I was feeling that from them.
I think you just wrote a new book. It's called Witness.
Oh, that's so good. Woo! Oh boy.
All right. Thanks. That
was beautiful.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Record Keepers. And thanks for everybody listening for making this. That's the sort of, I don't know, in theater we always talk about there's the actors, there's the script, but there's the audience. And without the audience, you literally do not have a thing.
Yeah.
It does not exist. It is yodeling into a void. And I feel that very deeply. That is my spiritual practice often, is knowing that there's a conversation happening, a triangle of conversation.
That's good.
And so that feels true. With even in theory, we don't have an audience yet as we record this in real time, but it yeah. feels like we do.
I feel like we do. Yeah, I hear you. I get it.
Yeah.
I love you guys. I gotta go.
All right. I bye, y'all. Hug. Video hugs from Desmond. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers. What? All the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.